Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Really, Bam?
Madness to me. Why do you have to go so soon?
Breaking that, Bam.
Yes. We got your background dancing over here.
It seems like yesterday.
Yes.
You're hanging.
Wild.
You feeling it, didn't you? Feeling it? Oh, yes.
No. No more. You can't go. No. 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 Oh, Lord. No.
Bring them back.
No more's dead.
He is.
Oh, that's not a laughing matter, guys. That's not a laughing matter. I'm torn right now, you know, because I'm sitting next to you, you know.
All right, well. Gangsta Lane, well. Hey, what's everybody? You tuned into AfterBuzz TV for season 2 of Power. I'm your host, Van Erickson, and I would like to introduce my panel.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Cornelia.
And I'm your girl, Robin Ayers, and I get the privilege today of sitting next to this very handsome, very, very talented man, Vinicius Machado. Oh. Did I say that right?
You said that right, yeah.
We love him here at AfterBuzz. We call him Vinny.
Or delicious.
No, Mar. Yeah. Delicious, that's
delicious.
Right.
Delicious is back in the house. What's up, guys? Thank you for having me back, by the way.
Yes, yes. You may know him as Nomar on Power. And
that's right.
Jeez, let's start off, Bam, because this is a really sad episode.
You know, I'm just devastated. I tweeted you, and I think I tweeted Courtney, and I said, no, he cannot be dead. He cannot be dead. And Courtney was like, no, Bam, he's dead. And then when I saw that you were appearing on season 2 of episode 1, I was like, okay, yes, maybe, Lord. He's back.
Something, yeah.
He survived.
And I was like, oh, damn, he's dead. But we're gonna get into that. So let's just dive right into it. So Tommy goes right after Angela and he tries to take her down.
Like for real. Certified, take her out.
He's on a mission.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Consequences, I mean, you know, that's the name of the episode. And what a brilliant name, you know.
Yeah.
The ingenuity of the show, the writing just couldn't be more perfect. Groundbreaking start. I think season 2 is going to be like even bigger than season 1. I'm so excited for the show.
I agree.
I'm so excited. I'm sorry. And before we go on, I just want to, you know, thank all the people at Stars, thank the cast of Power, thank the crew, the writers. They sent us a lot of great stuff. They sent us hats. They sent us DVDs. They sent this jacket. If you could just get a wide shot, but if I turn my back, you can see.
Oh, yeah. Look at that swag. Oh. Look at that swag.
Power.
I'm wearing my Power jacket. So thank you to 50. Thank you to 50 Cent, and thank you to Courtney and to the cast and the writers and crew for sending us such a great stuff, a great box of stuff for Power. Okay, so now let me ask you guys this question. So, do you think that Angela was setting Ghost and Tommy up the entire time?
No, I don't.
Well, you heard it from the man. I don't think so either. I don't know where Tommy got that from. I'm like, no, Tommy. But he seems like he's on a trip right now. Like he's just maybe paranoid or something. But I definitely don't think that she's... I think that we would see something behind closed doors of her, maybe her feelings. And you know how you could read people's faces sometimes and things like that. But we don't get to see that from her. So I think she really is sort of like not in the know right now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay.
If they really did make it so Angie knew about this the whole time, that would be the ultimate twist of the show. No, I don't know anybody who would expect that to happen.
So do you think that Tommy was overreacting once he saw the luggage in the Angela's apartment, being that he already kind of knew that they were hooking up anyway?
I don't think he's overreacting. I think he's just going on his instinct. You know, that's Tommy. You know, he's just protecting himself, and he's got to do that because he can't, like you said, I can't trust anybody, not even Ghost right now, you know? So for him, it's like, it's his own life on the line, you know? So... And the whole twist with, like, you know, Angie now as well with the position, the circumstances in her job and now being the target for Ghost and Tommy because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with her as well. So, you know, it just makes it even more complicated for Tommy to be able to, you know, to decide if Ghost is really in a no or not, you know, in regards to the whole situation.
I agree with you. I feel like as much as I'm like, Tommy, just calm down a little bit. He's a street dude. He's a New Yorker. You know what I'm saying? And you got to think about it like that. At the end of the day, he may love his brother, Ghost, and all of that. And he's got mad love for, you know, the people who are around him. But at the end of the day, they probably don't trust anybody. Like he said, Holly right now is the only one he's really trusting. So, you know.
And what a shocker for Tommy to admit that, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's in love.
Yeah.
For the first time. You know, you see the sensitivity coming out.
Yeah.
Okay. I have said from the jump, I don't like Holly. I think she's a skank.
I know.
Okay. So, and Tommy's coke-snorting mother, Karen, also feels the same way, and she doesn't even know the skank.
Yes.
So,
yeah, that's true.
Well, when you are not in love with somebody, it's easy for you to know that they're a skank. Like, oh, no, girl, she's a skank.
Cut up.
Right, but she was putting it down. Maybe he sprung. You never know.
Yeah.
Tommy is in love, and he has to go through the motions of that on his own. He has to. You see, flash forward to the end, when he found out she got shot, he was curled up next to her in the bed. Like,
right. What a powerful moment, though.
Yeah, he has to go through those emotions on his own time and figure out that she is or is not really a skank. Because maybe she's not a skank.
I think, you know what? I think that Tommy is falling in love with the idea that he's looking at a reflection of himself, because she's very much like him. So I don't know that he's probably just in that, you know, cloud. You know how you get in when you're in love, your mind is all in the clouds and everything. But I think that she's very much just like him, which is why they hit it off in the first place. If you think about how they were at the bar and how they got down, like they got thrown out of the bar, both fighting that guy. And so he was just like, whoa. And she was like, whoa. You know what I mean? So there's so much alike that he's in love with her.
You know what's so interesting too? Like, could it be that Tommy is so codependent that because of, you know, the split with him and Ghost now, that he's looking for that with Holly, and Holly is like that thing right now?
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
You know, you don't know what Holly's going to turn into, but for him, when his, you know, his character is like, he's now, you know, being able to rely and confide in her. And so for him right now, that's everything. So
that's a great point.
That's a good point. Especially when you saw the relationship between him and his mom. Who snores coke with their mom? When they were in the kitchen and when she walked up on him behind him and kissed him on the cheek, I was like, woo, that's a little too close.
I was like, mom, you need to calm down. Yeah. Something's going on. That's weird.
She was
going to,
like, really go in for
Very
it.
Very awkward. Very awkward.
Very
that's
awkward.
All I'm saying.
Yeah.
You remember I said that, Bam? I was like, this.
We did. And I watched it. I watched it with some other friends last night, and we all said the same thing. We were like, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
That number one, they're snorting cocaine together, and then the way she was, it was
weird.
It was weird, yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. It was just
Bottom
weird.
Line is that it was weird, y'all.
We're almost going back to the pedophile situation here.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
I think we all felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like,
right, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then just what do you think about Tommy's mom, Karen? Do you think we're going to see her more in season two?
I think so. She did a great job.
Yeah.
She was
I love when Vinny speaks because I'm like, you're right, right now. I just love it. But I agree because she made such a powerful impact. Mm-hmm. It says something like, and I believe the show is really big on foreshadowing, you know, and little things about her and her character make me think that she's probably going to appear and maybe in a way that we're not all expecting, but, you know, maybe so.
Mm-hmm. Well, side note. Is that Abby from Eight Is Enough?
That's so funny. I don't know.
The mom, the actress?
Yeah.
No, it's Victor Garber, I believe.
No. But Karen, the mom, Tommy's mom, is that Abby from Eight Is Enough?
Oh,
I
should
have Googled that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Eight Is Enough. Where did that come out?
Because she looks
I don't know where that came from. But you know, you might be right. I don't know.
Okay. Well.
On another note,
the homie Nomar is dead. The funeral.
But you know what? That's what pedophiles get.
You know what? So, can I say something?
You know what? That was right. That was right for the storyline. It was right for the show. It was right for the people out there watching it. And you know, it's a message. You know, and I think it was right.
Okay, call me crazy, but I felt your character was a very fun, entertaining pervert. I mean, like,
yes,
there was something about your character that I actually
get a lot of heat for this one
that I liked, but you were a pervert.
Man, he was sending his ding ding to a 14-year-old.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that there was something about his character that I liked, and I'm not the only one who thinks that.
You're not. I said that when you came for season one, he was here. You know, he visited with us season one, and I said I'm rooting for Nomar. Like, maybe it was that I'm rooting for him to change. I'm rooting for him to become a better person. But you were so likable as a character. It was just Nomar didn't deserve. You
That's
know
why
what
I'm
mean?
Sitting next to her. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I get what you're saying.
We agree,
Camille,
though,
but
ma'am.
I really felt like Nomar in some aspects, he was kind of harmless. He was fun, and you know, he was just a pervert. He was a flirt, but I don't know.
Ain't nothing harmless about sending your thing thing to a kid. Let alone some grown women don't even want to get those.
But there was a humanity side to him. That's what you're referring to, yes. Right? And I think a lot of people out there related to that. And you know, they were sad to see him go. But you know, at the end of the day, I think they got to keep going with the storyline. And I think it was right. So,
and to that point, really quickly, let me just say that on this particular episode, we were able to see that she really did have, you know, some feeling. I mean, I don't want to make this seem like it's okay. I definitely don't want to make it seem like that, but it seems like
okay.
More. It's not.
I'm just kidding.
All right, y'all? It is not. Okay, but it was just, it seemed like it was more to it. It was maybe a little bit, it was a little bit harmless. Gosh, it's not harmless, though. But you understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, like potentially, it didn't go all the way.
Yeah.
Like, he had these intentions to do these things with the young girl, but deep down, we hope that somewhere deep inside, he really didn't go through with it. Like, hopefully that it was just pictures.
Because Nomar really was a great guy, like, at heart. You know, he just had some issues, but, you know.
He had a lot of issues.
Yeah. On a side note, what was it like as an actor laying in a casket pretending to be dead?
Come on now. Speak on it.
It was hard. It was really hard. Yeah, it was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It was hard in itself, the surface, you know, that I was laying on. But, you know, to be honest with you, I lay there and I fell asleep.
Oh. That's how you gotta do it.
Well, I had to tune my mind out, you know, because I just couldn't process that, you know, and dwelling on it just didn't help. So I tuned off and I just fell asleep. And I remember Angie actually asking me in the trailer, were you sleeping in there? I was like, yeah, I was sleeping. So, yeah.
How long did they give you beforehand before they started bringing everybody in to really get into character?
It was about a day, I believe, or so.
I'm saying how long that actual scene when you were in the casket.
Oh, I mean,
it was immediate.
It was immediate. Okay. Yeah. You just, you know, went through the makeup and hair process and straight to set. There you go.
I'm
in the
always
casket.
Thinking like they give you at least 5 minutes just to calm yourself. Maybe don't blink. You know how you do this?
It wasn't anything intentional. I mean, you had time to, you know, while they're setting up lights and things like that, to process it in your head. I'm like, I'm getting in a casket today, you know, and I got to lay there for like an hour
crazy.
Or two. So. Yeah, no, but it was cool. You know, I'm very grateful for the show and for the opportunity that I had with season one. So I'm just happy for it. I can't wait for the rest of the season, and I'm going to be rooting and supporting it 100%. And I'm just grateful that it's such a hit, you know?
Yeah.
It was so, so brilliant. So I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that you're dead, my question to you guys is, are Nomar
dead? Thank you for putting it plain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's gone. But now Angela's going forth, you know, now that she's been kicked off the Lobos
task force,
you can tell she's getting ready to go where she potentially shouldn't go, or like, how do you guys feel about that? Do you think that she's going to literally put the nail in her own coffin by trying to now reach out to Isabel to try to get the rest of the trace for the ghost,
which she believes is ghost face?
Yeah.
She just really needs to fall back. She's kind of making me mad right now when it comes to that part, because it's like, okay, you've done whatever you've done. You sort of ruined what everybody was after, the feds, you know, they were after this, you know, on this case. And I really don't like it when people have been instructed to leave something alone, but they can't do it and they just continue to do it, go after it and try to solve the case herself. So that bothers me a little bit. So I think Angela really should take a step back.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree. However, based on what we've seen of her, it wouldn't be true to who she is.
Right.
if she doesn't just keep pounding, yeah, pounding. Right. Now you just got Nomar killed, yeah, pretty much. And now you're going after a little girl. Like, just leave her alone. Yeah. She does need to fall back, I agree, but she's not going to. And if she did, it just wouldn't be, it wouldn't, yeah, be her.
I think it's, you know, reflective of her nature and the relationship that she has with Ghost, you know, being mm-hmm. the past and the now. I think she's going to, and I think that's part of who she is, and she's not, yeah, going to stop. So
I agree with that.
I totally agree. And I'm going to leave it at that. So now we have a message.
Hey, guys. So we love hearing from you. So keep sending your tweets and comments. We do read every one of them. And don't miss the chance to take our very important listener survey at podcastone.com. Your responses will help us to make this show the very best it can be. It'll only take about 3 minutes of your time, and you'll get the instant gratification that comes with knowing you helped us out. You can tell us how you really feel about the show and help us get to know you better. Do it now. Take the survey at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com, and keep those tweets and comments coming. Thank you.
All right, so now let's get into Pink Sneakers and Kanan and Sean and some of the other more greedy type stuff. Okay, speaking of Sean, is it me, or is he really that naive?
I was asking myself the same question. Just, I can't figure
out. I mean,
him
the
out.
Boy just comes off as dumb as a bucket of shrimp.
Right.
Yeah. He does. But this is what I have to say about Sean. Okay. I really do believe. Listen, all the game that he's been getting, just sitting there, right? Driving the car, being a driver, being in the home. When you're around Ghost and you got Kanan as a dad, like, oh, you goodness. Got game. And you're probably not letting everybody see it, but I think it's going to come out at some point. And I think that that's intentional. His character right now is very intentional. I think he's very, very slept on.
I agree. I think he's just bottling it all up, and yeah. he's going to explode in a minute. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with him. But mm-hmm.
See,
exciting.
I was going to say something different. But until you said that, I was like, oh, maybe he has the inside track. Because I was going to say, it's kind of like when you have like a street dad and then your street or a street mom and your street parents put you in private school. You don't have the same street smarts or the That's same true. Know that your parents have. And they're always like, man, you just so naive. But it's not really your fault. You went to private school. You just really just are clueless and you just don't know.
But really, he's been exposed to this whole life, this whole time, you know, his whole life. And yeah, he's that true. Naive. I mean, I don't
yeah,
know.
I think he's naive. Yeah, I think it's yeah. game. But you know what? I don't think that his anger or however explosive he's going to come out is going to come out in the same way as them.
Right.
I think that it's going to be very much true to his character, how he is, and he's very smart, and you know, I think it'll come out that way. Just the boy's got game, that's yeah. all I'm saying. The boy's got game, and he's gonna show us how, but I don't think it's gonna be very violent, or you know, because you could tell that he cares, he's got a heart, you know, you could tell facial expressions, and he does a fantastic job acting that role, but I think it'll come out in another way.
I disagree. I don't think he has game. I'm unsure where he's going with where they're going with his character, but he just kind of seems like that, and you know, like. But I can understand why he's like that, because when you work for people in the streets, you are not supposed to react in any kind of way. When he sees Ghost kissing Angela, yes. and then when he's with Tasha, he's the same in every situation. So that I'll give him. But I can't say that.
But you know what? Knowledge is power. He knows true. A lot about
yes,
everybody.
Yes,
and he
does.
Keeps it all bottled up, you know, so.
And he's the one everybody seems to trust. Like,
right.
he's everybody doesn't think that he'll, you know, turn on him or use whatever information that he has. But let me say something that kind of struck me. The moment that he had with Tasha, where she was just like, listen, you know, it was a mistake, you know. He was kind of like, a mistake? It was something he did that
right.
was so subtle that it was like, okay, all right, like, okay, I got you.
Right,
okay,
right.
yeah. It was yeah. that for me. Yeah. I was like, okay, we don't know. I mean, I think that it's going to come out. It may not be next episode or whatever, but we'll see it.
Okay, so now let's talk about his dad, Kanan, who, I have to be honest, I still feel it's a miscast because I can't. It's a little disturbing because 50 does not look old enough to be the father.
Black don't crack.
I understand that, but
he'd be 92 out here in the streets, and we'd be like, "Oh, he's 92."
It's still a little disturbing to me. But my question to you is: do you guys think that Kanan is overplaying his hand by some of his body language when he was on the phone with Tasha? As Tasha, I would presume that he can hear the conversation that Sean and Tasha's having. So he's laughing ha ha ha, he's laughing to the side, and then he's kind of assuming certain things like, oh, well, did he miss? And there's certain things that he's doing where, as the audience, we can tell he's up to something. But to Sean, I feel like maybe he's overplaying his cards a little bit, and he's a little too cocky with what he thinks no one else knows.
Nah, he's been in prison for a long time. I think he's shaking the ground, you know, and putting himself back out there and known, and presumably, you know, making his presence known. So I think he's smart. I think he's beyond the whole game, and I think he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, and he could. I'm bothered by the fact that he's just so gangster when he gets out of jail. I'm like, you just got out of jail. Chill out. You know what I'm saying? Be smarter about it. You know what I mean? Play your cards a little. You know, they just had gotten information about the girl gone missing, right? Pink sneakers or whatever, gone missing. And he left from that meeting with Tommy and Ghost and went to go handle his business to try to find out about Pink sneakers. It's like the moment you left, you tried to go find out about the girl. Play your cards a little bit, you know, wiser. Slow down a little bit. So, because he's being a little bit messy, I think.
Now, that's where I would disagree with you, because if I'm Kanan and I hired Pink sneakers to take out Ghost and you missed, and you supposed to be this bad bitch type girl,
you dead.
Yeah, you gotta kill
her. He needs to go kill her.
Right.
Listen, on one point, yes. Okay, that's a situation that you can take care of. That will handle itself. You have people looking for her. She's gonna be handled one way or the other. What you being in the streets now with Tommy, with Ghost, that's what you have to worry about. That would be my main concern, making sure that my slate is clear with them, not necessarily Pink sneakers.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could be mad at her, you could want to kill her, you could do whatever you want. That's going to handle itself at some point. But them, that's not going anywhere. You make sure that home front is taken care of. That's how I see it, at least.
I see it both ways. I see it now that he has this new little crew. He kind of has to do some real damage in regards to Pink sneakers being missing, because now you got these little boys looking up to you. They find out that the person you hired didn't kill Pink sneakers, and you didn't go really do some damage. They go like, yo, you were talking all this stuff in jail like you was going to do X, Y, Z. You didn't do anything.
Street credit.
Yeah, for street cred purposes, he had to and has to really send a message in regards to her not doing her job.
Okay, but did he accomplish that?
No.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Boom! I'm just saying, he didn't handle his business. He went to go kill old boy. Like, wait, you're being messy. That was unnecessary. That guy didn't need to die. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? That's all.
But you know what? He's also hungry. You know that anxiety.
Now,
so it's coming out. Yeah, I think you're partially right. But, you know, I think it's just who he is. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I find it very interesting. There was a correlation. You had Ghost trying to make connects with the new school,
right?
What drug little homies, whatever you want to call them, the little drug dealer homies.
Yeah,
and there was a difference between kind of old school and new school. You know, when Ghost went to go talk to the little guy who played Little Season, Notorious, and then when you have 50 talking to the new school, it was almost as if the new school does not respect the old school, you know? And so I found that that was really interesting.
Contrasting.
That it's, it, yeah.
I agree. I was just like, look at little man bucking up. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, I'll let you know. I was just like, oh, wow. So it was just a huge contrast that we were able to see. And, you know, who knows? Again, the foreshadowing that this show really gets involved in. It just tells us some things prior to it actually happening. So we'll see. That's going to be an interesting
dynamic.
And
Ruiz making demands on Ghost now to be able to part.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the table. So that was pretty powerful, too. Yeah. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Now, Ghost saw the picture of Pink sneakers, and it's alluded that she's somewhere potentially in Miami. And so who do you guys think will go after Pink sneakers first? Do you think Ghost will, or do you think Kanan?
I think everybody.
Yeah.
She's in a hot spot right now.
She is. I'll if I had to choose, I would say Kanan, because that she's the apple of his eye right now. He's out to get her, find her, whatever. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah. Moving on.
I have to leave it at that. Okay, so now, number two.
All right.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries. Hey, guys. Okay, so let me tell you about something really cool, actually. It's really, really cool and exciting. You can now apply to Dance Battle, America ABC's newest competition special. And it's from our very own AfterBuzz founder and e-host, Maria Menounos, and Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars. It comes Special Dance Battle America. During the holiday seasons, over the last 2 years, Julianne and Maria have engaged in a fearsome little dance battle via social media. You probably have seen it because it's gone everywhere. Once the challenge took off, celebrities like Kate Hudson, you had Amber Riley, they all joined this battle, and it was just this craze. It just began. So now the ladies are challenging everyone in America to battle it out for the chance to fly to Los Angeles and compete on the dance show.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know it's pretty cool, right? Mm. So here's the opportunity of a lifetime. If you want the chance to dance on network television, go to www.dancebattleamericacasting.com. I'll say that one again. www.dancebattleamericacasting.com for more information on how to submit your video. And don't forget to post it on social media using hashtag DanceBattleABC. It's hot. You guys got to do it because I want to see you in L.A.
All right. There you have it. Now let's kind of get into the meat and potatoes. We got Tasha Ghost, Angela, Keisha Stern. Okay, so with Tasha, Tasha still does not quite understand why is truth so important, Ghost? Why is it so important? She wants to just let it go. Let's just use this whole washing coin or the
washing fold.
The washing fold.
Yeah.
Let's do that and let's go forth. What do you guys think about Tasha and her not getting on board with Ghost new?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not, well, I felt that she didn't quite understand it before he explained everything to her.
Yeah.
He let her know what's up, what's going on. And now she's like, okay, cool. I thought one of the dopest moments of the whole entire episode was her being like, well, let's go. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Let me help you out or whatever. So, Tasha's still a rider. I'm still riding for Tasha, but, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Ghost in that dynamic with her, because his eyes were opened up to something as well. We're still talking about episode one,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, yeah. So I'm like, I don't want to jump ahead of you guys, but so yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But I think she's still quite down for him.
I love Tasha. Did you see her eyes when he told her that they're gonna move like double the weight?
Mm-hmm.
Like her eyes just popped up. She's like, ooh, yeah, I like that. Let me get involved.
And I think Tasha understands mm-hmm. why truth is important. But she wants Ghost to be a street dude. So she gets it, but she doesn't care. She's like, you expanding the club means that you no longer going to be a street dude. And I need you to be a street dude. So mm-hmm. please stop. Please stop.
Cornelia, I have a question specifically for you.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Because I know how you feel on Scandal with Fitz and Olivia.
Right.
Okay, so.
Well, Fitz is just annoying.
I know. Okay, but Tasha specifically said, I will help you. I will do whatever I need to do to help you, being that Tommy's not there. I'll do it, but you have to leave Angela. And he says, it's handled. I just need you to just tell me how you feel about the whole relationship between Tasha, Ghost, and Angela. And is it really handled?
Well, obviously we saw it wasn't handled because he was getting it on. He was in them sheets with her after.
But he was getting it for the last time.
No, it wasn't the last time.
I don't think it was the
last
time.
No, it wasn't the last time.
I think he thought, he's like, all right, well, if I got to leave, let me just get it in one last time. That's just what I think.
I don't think he put it in that perspective in his mind, because in his mind, Angie is the love of his life. This was before he found out what she did for a living.
Mm-hmm.
He is looking at Tasha like, man, I got to get out of this. He was already planning to leave her. So when he said his handle, he was just doing it to shut her up. And he was like, okay, I'm going to go over the love of my life's house. And we're going to get it in. We're going to lay in the bed and cuddle and talk about my hopes and dreams. He didn't mean that with Tasha. It's sad that she believed that he said that and he was being truthful. Now, that's what was the really sad part about it. Because I was like, oh, she really believed him.
Wait, so you guys actually don't think that he's being real when he talks to Angela?
He's being real with her.
Yeah, I agree too.
Yeah.
Okay,
but in that conversation, there's something that he said that all men who say they're going to leave say. He says, "I need more time." That's the biggest bull crap of line a man will ever tell a girl. That I just need more time.
His is actually true. He actually does need more time. You can see why, though, right? He definitely needs more time. Look at what just happened with him, truth, you know, everything that just went down. He was ready. Like, I really feel like he was ready. Last season, before everything happened, he was ready to go and be like, peace, Tasha. You know what I'm saying? Because he wasn't really they weren't on the same level. You know what I'm saying? And he was in love with Angela.
His bags were in her apartment. They were ready to leave that night, you know, until the hit.
To Miami.
Yeah.
But still, that says a lot. You're still willing to go travel with the girl. He's ready to leave.
He's ready, yeah.
Okay, well then let's go forward to or at the end when Tommy goes and confronts and basically says, you know, Angela, he's kind of got it in his mind that, you know, Angela possibly set up. Tommy was like, we need to go kill her. And Tommy was ready to go kill her again for the second time, but the only reason that he didn't kill her was because now he had to go see that skank in hospital. And so he told Ghost to go handle it. And so what do you guys think about the final scene where he actually goes?
Because
his disposition was a little bit different.
It was different. However, let's keep in mind, he thinks this woman is the person he is supposed to be with. So let's say you find out the person you were supposed to be with really wasn't who you thought she was. You got to process in your mind and really be like, okay, so is this true or not? Does she really love me? Does she not? Is she playing me or does she not know who I am? We have to see him go through all of these motions before he even
much in his mind.
Yeah, attempts to cut her off. Yeah.
And he's that little car scene where he pulled the gun out, that was a front. He wasn't going to do nothing to her. What he really wants to do is go into that apartment and find out what's up. Now find out more. You know, he's being inquisitive now. It's not like I'm going to handle her because he's not convinced like Tommy is.
No.
Remember, Tommy's on the extreme with it. He's on the whole other end of the spectrum. But Ghost is just like, let me find out what's up. Do you really know what's going on? And so that whole question of how was work at the end of the episode was, you know, really exactly where he's at with it. He just wants to find out more about her.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay.
Okay,
well, back to Tasha. So
bam, clearly that's because
even the way when she kissed him and how he didn't even press his lips back to kiss her back, it was like this.
Okay,
but he's emotionally involved. Yeah, he's stuck.
If I think about it in this perspective, let's say your homeboy hit you up and was like, yo, I saw your girl at the park with another dude. You're going to go home, you're going to be like, how was work? With the side eye, you're going to be pissed. You're going to try to kiss you, you're going to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
He's going to sit down and process it. And then over time, he'll figure out how he's going to deal with it.
Okay. Well, speaking of processing, what do you think about Tasha having the bank account and keeping her own stash? She's clearly processing her marriage.
Yes.
What do you guys think about that?
She's a sneaky little one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, though.
But that's right, yeah.
She's so cute. She's a sneaky little one.
I love Tasha, though, you know. But, I think she's preparing for the worst. You know, she's up. I think she's naive in that way, and the fact that she believes what Ghost is telling her, I don't think she believes it 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see, you know, her opening up her own bank account, stashing some money on the side. I think she's preparing for the worst. She knows the situation. She's trying to take advantage of it right now, but she knows. She's been through it, and let's see what happens.
Yeah. I think she should
have
started doing that like 5 years ago.
I agree.
Because her mom, Debbie Morgan, remember last year when she said, you can't, if you divorce him, you can't go after money that's not accounted for.
Exactly.
Right.
And so I think I called it during season one, but she should have been stacking her cash.
Well, remember we saw her take some money from season one, and that's sort of, I guess, what she started this bank account with. But at the end of the day, remember, Tasha is also from the streets. You know what I'm saying? So the girl is wise. She really wants her relationship to work out. Any woman would, and you have kids with this man, and you have a very lavish lifestyle. However, she's very, very smart and street smart. You know what I mean? So... yeah, I don't know. So she's going to keep that bank account and she's going to make it grow.
And she's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she's got the mind. Like you said, the street smart. But, you know, I think she's got the mind to be able to thwart the whole operation and take it under her hands and even put Ghost aside if she has to. I think she's that dangerous. You know, because
something right now.
No, I'm
you know something that we don't know.
Confession time. No.
Okay, well, what do you guys think about Stern?
Oh my goodness.
I love the fact that Victor Garber has come more into season two. He now owns the building that Truth is at, and so now he wants Ghost to work for him.
But you know what? He really, I gotta give it to, I don't like Stern. Mm-hmm. Let me just let you know, sir. I don't like your character. However, he played that like a G. He certified did that like a G. I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. That was a great business move, a great twist to it. And what a way to make Ghost now work for you, because you've been trying to get his business and Ghost didn't want to comply. So I thought that was really a genius move. I don't like it, yeah. but it was a genius move.
Why is he? Oh, go ahead.
And it was good for Ghost. Ghost, if you want to do real business, this is how businesses go. Sometimes you get swallowed up by a bigger business. So I think it's good for him to actually be in another sector just outside of the drug game. Now you're in a real sector where people are shady out here too, Ghost, and you want to be on top of your game everywhere. So I think it was a good learning lesson for him. He won't let it happen again.
Can I ask something? Uh-huh. Can I be blunt?
Yes.
Of course.
What do you guys think about the racial differentiation there between Simon being white and Ghost being black and him overpowering him that way? You think that has anything to do with
I absolutely do.
Something behind that?
I do, and that's why I don't think that he should work for him. I think he should do, as Tasha say, go and start another club somewhere. Don't trust this old white man, because even from the moment that they that Ghost and Tasha went over to the house, there's just something very slimeball about him, but he does it in such a bougie mm-hmm. kind of way.
He's very pretentious.
He's very mm-hmm. pretentious,
and,
yeah.
And to add to that point, though, if we're looking at from the outer, outside of the show, if this were just a normal situation, I wouldn't think race had anything to do with it. However, the way that he talks to Ghost and the way that he sort of looks down on him, like you said, he's sort of pretentious in that way. He also... the way that he makes reference to that whole, I might try a man this time, like he's made reference to that last season as well, like trying to, you know, have a relationship with some man or whatever. He is slimebally. That's why I don't like this whole situation, but I personally don't think race has anything to do with it, and it may, but it's not something that I look at, you know. I don't know. That's just my opinion on it.
I think it does.
Mm-hmm. I think
even
it does.
With his wife or the women at the table a couple like last season, she was like, "Can I touch your hair?
Yes.
Don't beat it. No, right. you can't touch my hair." So I think it does play a part, but it seems sometimes people like Simon Stern don't know that they're making race a part of it. Sometimes they really just don't know. They're so high up and they're so in another world of their own that they just don't even consider how it's making other people feel or how it looks.
Mm-hmm. Well. You know, I agree with you, and I completely agree about the wife, especially how she was with the touching of the hair. But when it comes to racially looking down, maybe I don't see it from that point. What I do think is that he's fascinated with the culture of black people. I think that more so than you black boy. I think so. He's more like, you know, hip hop, the music. Okay, show me. You know, I think he's more fascinated.
So if he found out that Ghost was indeed a drug dealer, how would he react?
He would be like, I knew
right?
it.
I knew, yeah.
He
right?
would be like, oh, you people, I knew it all along. Because he right. said something like, how do you get your people to not act up like they do? So he right. has...
Something.
He has some stereotypes.
Right.
Hopefully he doesn't find out what Ghost does, because that's just going to...
Escalate.
Yeah.
Feed into it.
Yeah.
You want my personal opinion on it?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I got to go against the grain on everything.
That's all good.
But I feel like the way that he is, and he feels like he's above the law... Maybe he would want to try to get in on it. And maybe he would try to have something on Ghost, like, you know, because now you work for me. Now this is how we're doing it. Let me show you another way. Let's take this illegal washing of the money type thing and let's flip it. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I think he would handle it. Who knows if he's ever going to find out. But the way that he is, I feel like he would take it in that direction.
I disagree. I think Ghost does a good job in selling his image, and he just buys into it. And he's just like, okay, well, I want what you have. And it's a power trip thing. But he plays into that race card like real well. Mm-hmm. And he sticks it to Ghost, like, you know, that was a dirty move. Dirty
it was
move.
Dirty. Yeah, it was yeah. dirty. So dirty.
And because the fact that he went behind his back and bought it, and the deal was that the previous manager not know it. Stern's about he him. Well, okay, yeah. And I'm gonna leave it at that. But I want to get into you a couple questions. So, did you know that you were going to be killed off at the end of season one, or like how did you find out?
I did. I knew, yeah, right from the start. When I read episode 8, you know, mm-hmm. I knew right then. I asked them, and they said, yeah, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That makes me so sad.
And so, did you know that you were actually coming back for the funeral for season 2?
That I didn't know, mm-hmm. no, until they called me up and said, hey, you're in a casket. Okay. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, all right.
I was just grateful to be a part of a great show, and mm-hmm. I'm, you know, again, so grateful to Courtney, 50 stars, and you know, everybody. So I'm excited for the show, and I'm going to continue to support it.
Yeah.
Okay, you have some other stuff that's coming out. You have True Detective on HBO.
That's right.
Premieres to June 21st on HBO for season 2. You're going to be on True Detective. Tell us about your character.
I think it is safe to say that I'm going to be playing Tony Schiavone.
too.
Yeah. On True Detective, nice, like Bam said, June 21st. Tune in, guys, on HBO, 9 p.m. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. You also have another TV series called Mismanagement that comes out, I believe, October 7th of 2015. Can you tell us about that TV series?
Yeah, it's a mini web series that we developed and shot with quite a few of the cast of 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. And we're working on the other episodes right now. And we shot the pilot. That is done. And we're going to be putting that out there in October. So
nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
You also have two films. One is Miss Fortune. That comes out later
sometime this year. Okay. I don't know. Yeah,
you're okay. Working, huh?
You're working.
I'm saying, yes. This is money. Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? You're working. I like that.
And then you have Wild for the Night, directed by Benny Boom, that
Benny
comes
Boom.
Out this summer. Correct?
Yeah, this summer. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What's can you tell us a little bit about the film and the character that you're playing?
Yeah, I played. Oh my goodness, slipped my mind now. Who do I play?
You're working so
working
much.
So much.
I forget. Oh, wow. What a mishap. Yeah, so Benny Boom is director. He's worked with 50 Cent before and a couple of music videos. Emilio Rivera is in it. Tommy Flanagan, James Maslow, and a whole other cast, myself included. If I'm not mistaken, it goes straight to DVDs. Wild for the Night is supposed to be out this summer. So check it out, you know. And I am playing a gangster who has Tourette syndrome. Who is the right hand of one of the main drug lords, who's played by Emilio Rivera. And the name slipped up right now in my head.
That's
I
all
just
right,
went blank.
Huh? Yes,
yeah,
so okay.
But look it up on IMDb, is there, and you can find out.
Something that I find very interesting about you just as an actor. After we finished taping the after shows for season one of Power, I started to run into you at certain auditions.
Yep.
And there was one audition in particular. It was for a callback. And I kind of peeped you on the side and just how you, sometimes I like to see how other actors kind of process certain things. And I watched you, you don't know that I was watching you, but, I watched you, you went into the corner, you looked at the script, and you just kind of made kind of a noise, and then you dropped the paper, and then you just walked in there like you was ready to kill the audition.
Wow.
And I was like, and I was just taking notes
that.
Because I was taking notes because I've watched some of the characters that you play, and you play certain characters just so well that
thank you.
You know, you're a very versatile actor. I like to study other great actors and just to see the kind of work that you do and how you play characters. Like, I'm already thinking about the character that you're going to play with Tourette's. You're going to kill that role.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're going to kill it. I just know you are.
You commit. You really fully commit to your roles. And you know, we're fans now. Ever since.
This is sweet.
Yeah. I was just a fan of Nomar, period. But to be that talented in a role and that believable, that says so much about you as an actor. Is he the most, I don't know, what other roles have you played, anything similar to Nomar, or not even necessarily, I'm not talking about the pedophile thing, I'm just talking about maybe you know, anywhere in that realm, have you played anything similar?
Yeah, I mean, that's my stereotype, you know, I've embraced that calling, and you know, you gotta imagine, believe it, and achieve it, you know, so stay ready, be prepared, and then fearlessness, you know, you gotta dive in, embrace the box, if you will, and then try to make it your own, and that's what I try to do with the Tourette's on Wild for the Nights as well. Originally there, then they took it out, and then I said, no, I want that in there, you know. I talked to them and I said, please, can I have it? And then I made sure, you know, to work through that, to be able to differentiate him from everybody else that I was doing, like Nomar, the simplest things, you know, like with the beard or things like that. And, you know, I try to find ways so that it's not cliche, or, you know, so I can take that stereotype and say, that's mine, you know, and own it, and then bring it out.
I love that answer that he asked to be to have that put back into the role, just to differentiate yourself from everyone else. I think that's amazing, because that's really a way to challenge yourself and not take the easy route out. So, you know, way to go.
Thank you. I remember, like, practicing the facial moves, you know, with expressions and you know, little subtle things like that. They were like, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't know you could pull it off. But you're gonna see a lot more, you know, in the film. So,
so I'm looking forward to watching it.
I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so now before we go to predictions and we close out, Cornelius here, and if you're familiar with any shows that we've done on AfterBuzz, she likes to give what we call her cold piece. So now Cornelia will now break down cold piece of the week.
Break it down.
So cold piece of the week can be either good or bad. It can mean what your mom means when she says cold, like, girl, the outfit is cold. That's a good thing. It could be something bad. Someone did something horrible. They're a horrible person. Either or, each episode can could be different regardless of what the situation is. Mm. This week for Power Episode 1 of Season 2, I'd like to give cold piece of the week to Angie's Around the Way Girl outfit at the funeral. Her outfit is cold piece of the week.
Yes, yes.
She had the hoop earrings on. She had the dark red lipstick with the dark lip liner. It looked like black lip liner with Vaseline in the center. It was straight Dyckman, East Elmhurst. Take the 2 train downtown from the Bronx, stopping at Grand Central Station. That's what it looked. It looked just like that. Mind you, the 2 train don't stop at Grand Central Station. That was just whatever.
Yeah.
But that's what get cold piece of the week. And also, we like to give our special guest a cold piece of the week for being an amazing cast member for Power for Season 1 and yes, Season 2, yes. Episode 1. And we'd like to thank him for joining us today. Absolutely. For After Show.
Thank you for having me.
That's cold piece of the week. Let us know who your cold piece of the week is online, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit all of us up and let us know what you think.
All right. And now let's go into predictions.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
Cornelia.
Mine is a little more long term. I think Angie's going to get pregnant. And I think she's going to get pregnant around the same time she finds out that Jamie is Ghost. And I say that because, one, they having a lot of sex. Like, I'm like, at some point, I'm like, she should have been pregnant about 4 times by now. But just her character, and they're from being her being from the same neighborhood, something's going to have to happen when she finds out who he is to make her not tell. Because you can't tell on your baby daddy. You can't. You can, even if that's your job, you cannot snitch on your baby daddy. So I really think eventually she's going to get pregnant, and that's going to be the decision. This is my baby daddy. So is he my baby daddy, or is he the man that I'm looking for my job?
Can you give a prediction, or did the script stop once you were done?
Yeah, it stopped. So yeah, I can definitely make predictions. Okay. Yeah, I predict that Isabel is going to become a new CI for Angela. Ooh. And Angela is going to be able to do what she hasn't been able to do now with Nomar through Isabel.
Where that tea? I'm just playing. I predict that Angela will find out about Ghost, and she's going to commit something criminal in order to keep him safe and unknown. That's pretty deep, huh?
Boom! That's wow. Mm-hmm. That's stretching it.
Well,
yeah, I know. But
criminal.
Hey,
Angela.
I can't make any predictions, and let me tell you why.
Okay, Bam. Come on. What's up?
My dear good friends over at Power and Stars actually sent us some episodes. And so I've already watched a couple of the episodes. And so I'm dying over here.
Oh.
And I can't say anything, but I've seen.
Oh,
I just
damn.
I can't make it more than me. I can't predict because all I'm going to say is.
Oh, damn. He got me by a stretch because I only got to watch a little bit of episode 2 with him. And so you look like you know much more than we all do.
Listen, zoom in. Look at me.
Real tight.
I'm telling you, season 2, Power, it is so good.
Woo!
From every character, it is good. Good.
It is great.
It is great, yeah.
It goes, oh my God, so much goes down, and just you have to tune in every week, every Saturday. Make sure, don't binge watch, because if you binge watch, it doesn't, something for like the ratings and stuff, you have to like watch it within a couple days. Mm-hmm. So don't binge watch, don't wait till 10 episodes to watch it. You have to watch it every single week to find out.
Tune in, please.
Okay, so thank you so much for stopping in with us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Your family to us. Yeah. You can stop by anytime.
Yes. And you know, although it's a greedy soap, I really wish this was kind of one of those cornball Pop Tart kind of soaps where you could be dead and then come back season 3.
As a ghost or something.
You know, like they do on All My Children, but I know you can, but.
Well, I said if Tupac is still alive, you know, Nomar still is too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Season 3, baby.
So let everyone know where you can be found on social media.
VMachado82 on all social media.
All right, Robin.
All right, and just for the record, I am still team Jamie and Ghost. I mean, Jamie and Angela. All right, you could find me on Robin Ayers, or it's robinayers.com.
You can find me at Kenilia on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, you can find me and Bam Erickson, also with Sophia Stanley and Bam Erickson and Emil Ennis Jr. on Happy Hour Podcast, available on iTunes for free. Download it now.
And you can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson, as well as Happy Hour TV. Thank you guys for tuning in for season
thank
two,
you.
Episode one of Power. Thank you. Thank you to our guest, Mr. Vinicius Machado. Thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck, and we know you're just going to kill those roles
and
everything you do. So keep us posted and make sure you come back to AfterBuzz. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.